Welcome to your Dogcast, where we feature news just for dog lovers. Here's your Rover reporter, Mary Lou Davidson.
Hi, and welcome to the Dogcast. I'm excited today to talk to Dr. Greg Martinez. He's written a book called The Dog Dish Diet, and we're going to be talking about dog food and nutrients and everything that's needed to keep your pup happy and healthy. Hi, Dr. Greg. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. I've had a chance to look at your book, and wow, it's really great. It gives a lot of background for people who really might not know about commercial dog food and some of the things that you can do to enhance your dog's diet. Tell me how you got into this. I know you had a golden named Teddy. Let us know how you got started with looking at dog nutrition.
Well, I started because my own dogs, I had a Teddy, which is a golden retriever, which is, he had really a poor hair coat. He has flaky hair, flaky skin, and kind of a thin hair coat and kind of a blondish hair coat. And I did the typical things, which I tested him for thyroid problems, which occur in a lot of labs and goldens, and his was fine. So I started thinking about things I could add to his food or different foods that I could feed him that might make his hair coat better.
Mm-hmm.
And I came. One thing that struck me when I thought about it was a lot of clients that fed different foods like raw foods or added things to their dog's diet basically were adding a lot of healthy oils and fats to the diet. So I tried doing that, and his hair coat got a lot better.
So what do you mean, like oils or eggs, or what do you mean by healthy fats?
Yeah, it's the same things that, of course, I was taught never to feed human food, so I had to re-educate myself. I was taught that kibble supplies everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's many dogs do fine on kibble, but when you add healthy oils, such as simple things like canola oil, fish oil capsules, olive oil, egg yolks, and then you feed healthy meats and fats like chicken and sometimes just a little bit of pork to the diet, in addition to normal kibble, the dogs get much better. And so that really was a wake-up call for me that all dogs are individuals, and some of them need more healthy oils in their diet or maybe a different kind of diet to feel better.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you were taught not to feed human food, and you are a veterinarian. In veterinary school, do they get into nutrition much, or how does that work?
Well, the sad thing is that veterinarians and physicians are all taught to patch with medicine, diagnose and patch, and we're really good at that. We're really good at acute problems, things that come on suddenly, trauma. But what I found is a lot of chronic medical illnesses like, itchy skin, ear infections, bowel problems, constant bladder infections, things that keep coming back and don't seem to go away are more responsive to nutrition, and better nutrition in the diet. And our classes didn't really cover that. We were taught that most commercial dog foods, like Science Diet and Hill's, the Hill's products, and now Purina, that they have it all figured out, and all we have to do is prescribe these prescription diets or different commercial foods to our clients and our patients, and things will be fine. But I found that's not the truth, and we really, really weren't taught any alternatives to that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of handcuffed. Veterinarians really didn't have a nutrition course. We had a kibble course. And a prescription medication course.
Do you find that that feeling has changed over time, that veterinarians are more open to looking at the diet now, or is it pretty much the same?
You know, it's slowly changing. It's like a barge, you know, nudging the barge. We just hired a new veterinarian in our clinic, and they still have the same nutritional primer I had, which basically is written by Science Diet, Hills, and it still talks about the same types of things, percentages, and of the of the protein and carbohydrates and fats in the diets, but not to consider home cooking, not to consider feeding your dog raw food, not to consider feeding holistic food, and what is in commercial treats and commercial dog food that may be causing the problem. So
right.
It's still a lot the same, but there's many holistic veterinarians and veterinarians that have become to realize, like I have, that nutrition is a big part of it, that have got on that, jumped on the bandwagon of healthy food and also are recommending that to their clients.
Mm-hmm. So your philosophy behind the dog dish diet is a combination, really, of healthy commercial food along with additions from the kitchen.
Yeah, what I found out is it's a big menu, and it depends the situation with the pet. Dogs that are mildly affected or not affected by any medical problems probably can do fine on most commercial foods, quality commercial foods. But I think it's always good to give them a little extra oils in their diets and a healthy mix of human food. What I mean by that is you can feed them healthy fish or fish from your diet or what you've made, a little chicken that you've cooked up. I give my dogs leftover shrimp. I give them all kinds of vegetables. I might even buy them kipper snacks from the supermarket. I'm always looking for stuff
right.
that's really cheap and, affordable that my dogs can eat. So I do that. But now if a dog's moderately or severely affected with skin or ear problems, then I recommend more of a canned food, because canned food has less chemicals, and a no-grain canned food, and a canned food that's hypoallergenic, and that's next step. And then after that, I recommend that people home cook their food, and I use a slow cooker or crock pot, and I actually cook food 100% of the time. When I wrote the book, I only did it, maybe 20% of the time, but I've really gotten into it lately.
Right. So give me a sample recipe that you might make.
Well, what I do is, I'm just going to try to direct publish a recipe book to Kindle. What it has in it is you basically get a crock pot, a 6.5 liter crock pot. Nothing real fancy. A lot of people probably have them in their kitchens or in their cupboards somewhere.
Sure.
You dust it off and you wash it out, and you put a whole young fryer in it.
Okay.
And you usually try to get it on sale. You can get anywhere from 50 cents to $1 a pound if you shop. And then you put like maybe a 4-pound chicken in, and you can cut it up a little bit or leave it whole. You put a couple cups of water in there, and then you put maybe 3 pounds of frozen green beans and maybe 4 ounces of chicken liver, and you cook it for anywhere from 10 to 14 hours, depending on your crock pot.
Okay.
And once those chicken bones get soft and crumbly, then you can take the ends off the chicken bones or even leave the whole thing in if it's crumbly enough. Sometimes the middle of the chicken legs or the femurs are a little bit hard and still splinter. So sometimes
take those out.
Yeah, I usually take those out, but I leave the rest of the bones in because that's the perfect calcium, phosphorus, magnesium balance, and that's good cartilage. And when you cook it up like that and you mix it up, you can just feed that directly to your dog or add it to the dry food as a good healthy supplement.
So in order to test and see if the bones are crumbly enough, you just kind of squeeze them between your fingers, and if they're mushy, if they wouldn't have to be ground up, they're okay.
Yeah, in my book, actually, I put down that the editor and I decided that we should have people grind them or blend them.
Right.
But since I wrote that a few years ago, I've been actually just cooking them. It's so much easier if you just stir it
right.
and take out the hard bones, and it decreases the whole just by, half hour.
And so for a 50-pound dog, if that was going to be his meal, do I give him a cup of it?
Yeah, probably 8 to 12 ounces, depending on the activity level.
Okay. And yeah, what about
if a dog tends...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, what about, you know, if I were to do this as a steady diet, wouldn't I need to supplement with some enzymes or additional nutrients?
Yeah, you know, that's a common thing. And if your dog has a common question, if your dog has real severe skin or ear problems or bowel problems, it's always good to put a probiotic in the food daily.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a good vitamin mineral mix.
Mm-hmm.
But for the normal dog, I don't find that you really need to add anything extra. Because
mm-hmm.
I feed a variety of nutrients. And in human nutrition, eating a variety of nutrients ensures coverage.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I use, in my recipes, I use green beans and carrots and potatoes and chicken livers, and because it has such a wide range of nutrients in it.
And that's pretty much a balanced diet. I know
in
your book you mention the desert island dog diet.
Yeah.
And one of the things is coconut. You know, you just sort of run through a litany of things that a dog might eat if he were on a desert island.
Yeah.
And one is wild goat, mangoes, grasshopper,
yeah.
sea grapes, and then coconuts. So what about fruit?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feed my dogs apples. In fact, sometimes when I'm fixing their food, cooking it, I will put a cut-up apple in the crock pot.
Mm-hmm.
Or a banana.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I feed my dogs apples and bananas and mangoes and peaches. Just if there's one I'm eating, I'll give them those as treats.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much quit feeding my dogs commercial treats. I mean, I definitely have.
Right.
They don't really have anything in them except for allergens and chemicals.
It's just scary. What's hanging on the rack in the grocery store?
Yeah, so I've decided that my dogs, they're much happier when I give them, I'm much happier, and they're much happier when I give them regular human food treats. One of my favorites, of course, dogs are carnivores omnivores with a slash towards carnivores, and I use chicken or turkey hot dogs, and I cut them up.
Mm-hmm.
I just use those as treats because they're cheaper and they have some better nutrition than the typical commercial treats, the dry cookies.
What about for those of us who don't have time or, you know, think we don't have time, some of the newer holistic foods that are available that are healthier or maybe organic? Do you have any favorite brands that you might recommend?
Well, you know, a lot of people in my here in Gilroy, California, a lot of clients with allergic dogs that I want them to get them a good quality food that is hypoallergenic. I use Taste of the Wild
mm-hmm.
foods. Honest Kitchen is one that comes up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Spot Stew, Halo Products.
Mm-hmm.
A really good one. In fact, I've used Halo products for 15 years. The Halo products or Spot Stew was developed by Andy Brown, who's feeding it to her own cats and dogs, and then now it's being produced on a commercial level.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about raw bones for dental health, because that's one of the things you talk about in the book. What types do you recommend?
Well, what I usually use for people to get started is, since dogs definitely need more to chew on, I usually tell people to either start with a smoked pork bone.
Mm-hmm.
And before I even get into this, let me tell people that if your dog gulps, if it's the kind of ravenous dog that eats too fast, then this practice may not be good for those dogs.
Okay.
Barbecued bones are not good for dogs. Barbecued chicken bones, barbecued T-bones, and beef ribs may be too splintery.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may obstruct they may be cut, chomped into too big a pieces and cause gut problems by blocking up the intestine.
Right.
So after I said all that, I've been feeding my dogs bones for 10 years. I usually use a smoked pork bone from the store, from this human supermarket, or a lot of pet stores have meaty bones. They have meaty beef bones, meaty lamb bones that you can use. And then one of my favorites, and my dogs love, is I just feed them chicken wings raw or frozen, and I feed them chicken thighs that are raw or frozen. Mm-hmm. And the bones inside are, you know, slightly brittle, but they're soft enough to where the dog chews on them. And if you chew on them frozen, that gives your dog a little bit extra hardness for their teeth to go through, which scrubs their teeth and gets the tartar off.
Awesome.
So I probably won't ever have to do a dental on my dogs anymore, because I use this type of therapy. I call it bone therapy, but I usually try to do it every couple weeks.
Right.
And, you know, or even every week. It depends. It goes and runs. I'll go to the store and I'll get a big bag of frozen chicken thighs and I'll feed them like three times or four times 1 week and then twice the next, and then I'll forget for a while.
Right. So, on the cover of your book, it's a great shot of you wearing a chef's toque and I guess five dogs around a red and white checkered tablecloth and a picnic table, maybe six dogs. How many of these guys are yours?
Actually, there's only one.
Okay.
He's the lab to my left. He's Tucker.
Okay.
And that's Tucker. And then I got him from the shelter, as I get many of my dogs are rescues or dogs that get dropped off for various reasons.
Right.
But he was the only one. He was the only dog I have that's well-mannered enough to sit at the table. The rest of them would be gone.
They would have all been chomping at the stuff on your cutting board,
probably. They'd be chomping. They'd be running out through that behind us. In fact, to get all those dogs, they had to be trained dogs. As you can see, they're all looking at the trainer.
Mm-hmm.
We took like over 300 shots that day, and there's only like five that were really useful.
Right.
Because those dogs, they wanted to get moved, and they don't want to sit there.
Well, it's a great book. I really enjoyed it, and I'm going to keep it, you know, as a reference guide. It's available on Amazon, and then is it also on your website?
Yeah, I have a website, dogdishdiet.com.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your time and all the information tidbits, and I guess I'll be dusting off my crock pot soon.
Yeah, you might as well. People would be surprised how little time it takes what I can do is I can send you my little download if you like.
That'd be great, and then I can post it, the link to it next to this interview so people can see where to go to look. Yeah.
So anyway, then you can look it over, and it's surprising how little time it really takes. And the more I do it, the more I think, gosh, you know, maybe a lot of the chemicals in the food are responsible for other illnesses like cancer and other things, so I'm really sold on feeding your animals just as healthy as you can.
Well, we couldn't agree more. We love our dogs. We'll be back in touch soon. We'd like to talk with you again about some more details on the Dog Dish Diet.
Oh, great. Well, you have a great day. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you, Dr. Greg. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the One World Pet Podcast. For more information about this podcast, please contact Mary Lou at oneworldpet.com.